You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on a Friday morning, December 12th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison. Dr. Kristen Lyerly hanging around as well. Coming up Monday on the program, we will be talking to former Congressman Reed Ribble, who has some thoughts on the recent health care debate and Republicans' failure to bring up anything even resembling concepts of a plan at this point for affordable health care. That's on Monday. Also on Monday, John Hankus, the CEO of Wisconsin Eye, and the thousands upon thousands of hours of archival footage of state government and the live coverage of state government that's all going to go dark as early as next week without some real financial help. And so John Hankus will tell us how the network got to be in those dire straits. Spoiler alert, this legislature has been run by a certain group for 15 years now. But we will keep this extremely nonpartisan and look for ways that Wisconsin Eye can be supported and continue to support the things that you are doing in Wisconsin government, what your elected representatives are doing, I should say, in Wisconsin government. All right, so a lot of political insiders, and by that I mean Dr. Kristen Lyerly, I mean consummate political insider. A lot of Wisconsin political insiders are asking questions about Mandela Barnes. They're asking, can he win a general election? Can he raise the $50 million that's probably necessary to run for governor? He's getting all this attention from Republicans. Is that a sign of weakness or is that a sign of strength? Kristen, I feel that there's only one way we're going to get answers to these questions.
Tell us, Pat. What is that way?
Welcome to the program now, Mandela Barnes, the former lieutenant governor and candidate for governor in 2026. Mandela, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you here as well. Thank you so much. It's been about a week and a half since you got in after, you know, all of the speculation and parlor games, whatever else you want to call it. Tell us about the reception over the past week and a half.
Yeah, reception's been incredible. Really excited about the momentum. I'm really excited about the opportunity to continue to build off the coalitions that we already put together just a few years ago. People are ready for change. People are ready for bold leadership and a bold vision that's going to take Wisconsin to the next level. These are critical times that we're experiencing, not just here in Wisconsin, all across the country. But I think back about all the times that Wisconsin has played a key leadership role in pushing the direction of this country in a positive way. And that's exactly what this campaign is about, ensuring that we're doing the hard work to support our family farmers, our small business owners, and working people in general who've had a very difficult time that has only gotten worse with the Trump administration. We're here fighting for relief to end the era of paycheck to paycheck. We're gonna lower costs on day one and make sure that Wisconsin is a state that finally expands our Medicaid program under the Affordable Care Act. No longer will we be one of nine states that has yet to do it.
You have, of course, heard both sides of the coin about your Senate race in 2022. He almost got there. He's clearly popular. Let's get him over the finish line. And he didn't get it done against Ron Johnson. And so he's had his moment. And so we need to go in a different direction. So we now get to ask you directly why the one side of the coin is the fair representation of you running for governor versus the other side of the coin.
Well, I haven't just heard it. I've lived it. And I can tell you for a person who, you know, had that question, my response is, well, who has beaten Ron Johnson? And this was a 1-point race. It was the closest Senate race in Wisconsin in over 100 years. It was the closest challenge to an incumbent in the entire country. It was also one of the top 10 most expensive U.S. Senate races in the entire country until last cycle and throughout American history. But all that aside, I am reminded of why I got in this in the first place, why organizing matters, because I wouldn't be here if it were not for that. And I think about all the organizing opportunities we had in 22. Again, I can go back to those coalitions we built, and I can go back to conversations that I've had since the race. Now, I had a chance to, you know, I've talked about this a number of times, conversation I had with Barack Obama the day after the election. And he talked about the race he lost for Congress and the work that he did after. And I have been dedicating, you know, these last few years to organizing. I didn't expect to run for governor, but I looked at the work that we've been doing, whether it's with Power to the Polls and showing up in communities all across Wisconsin, increasing voter turnout, showing up in places like Green Bay to help flip the city council for the first time. And I couldn't tell you when. And also the nonprofit work with Ford Together Wisconsin that helped lower energy costs in real time for lower income families specifically. Now, we have a long road ahead of us. And I can tell you, based on, you know, the question you asked a little bit earlier about the $50 million, I'm the one that threw the $50 million figure out there. We broke fundraising records. I've raised more money in this state through grassroots fundraising without taking a dime of corporate PAC money than anybody in the history of Wisconsin. And that's why I know that we have what it takes. I know that we have the organizing capacity and also the grassroots energy to see this thing and cross the finish line victorious.
So this is a huge opportunity. What's happening right now in this country is scary and divisive, and it just feels like such a must win all across the country, but everybody's watching Wisconsin because we're the closest, the most tightly held state. We could go either way easily. And the seat that you're running for is maybe the most important piece of that. It's also a huge opportunity. If we can grasp this and take it in a direction that is truly for the people, maybe we could even get things like healthcare for all Americans and so many childcare. I mean, so many of the other things that we all know we need and are suffering because we don't have. How far do you take it? I think I know where your mind is and I know where you've been, but how do you walk that fine line to make sure that you are addressing the needs of the people, but also staying in that lane that still is Wisconsin, which is like right on that razor's edge?
Well, like I said before, Wisconsin has been bold before in the way that we've approached governing. And I think that the way that people have led this state have ultimately led to larger change across the entire country. Wisconsin is one of the most fundamental and important pieces of this puzzle called democracy. It's not partisan to say that wages should be increased given the fact that we still have a 2004 $7.25 minimum wage. It's not partisan to say that every person in this country, every person in this state should be able to go to a doctor and not worry about a surprise bill. It's not partisan to say that our public schools are the foundation of our communities and they should be fully funded. And it's not partisan to say that people should have clean and safe drinking water and clean air to breathe. Now, given the fact that so many of these issues have been unaddressed or actually been made worse, given the impacts of the Trump administration, the impact on our family farmers with the tariffs and the cost that they are now taking on that is driving so many more of them out of business when it was already a tough situation. Our small business owners who can no longer be able to pass down the cost of tariffs to their customers because they don't have the money to do it. And people are being laid off. I can say there have been more layoffs. The study just came out. The report was just released that there have been more layoffs since, you know, than any time since 2009, which was a terrible time. That's when I got laid off. That's when I found myself on energy assistance. That's when I found myself on unemployment and food share. And I do not ever want to go back to that day, not personally, but for this country, for this state. The people of Wisconsin deserve so much more because we have given so much to make this country what it is. We have been on the forefront of change. And I believe that our better days can be ahead of us, but it's going to take the political will to do so. The energy from the people is there. The state legislature has refused to be with the people. 80% of people in Wisconsin support expansion of Badger Care. About the same amount of people support universal background checks for gun purchases. The legislature has been completely out of step, and that's why my campaign isn't just about becoming governor. My campaign is about making sure that we can usher in a new level or a new era of leadership that includes a majority in the assembly and a majority in the Senate. And not just a majority, a working majority that's actually going to show up and fight for people in this state.
We are joined by Mandela Barnes. He is a candidate for governor, 2026. The primary is in August of next year. And by virtue of your Senate campaign, by virtue of being lieutenant governor, you have name ID, and Republicans have already seized upon that, have said very little about six other candidates in the race. But Congressman Tom Tiffany, in particular, the presumed Republican frontrunner, has been attacking you. The Republican Party is attacking you. And so, again, I'll put that question to you that others are asking. Is it because they perceive that there's weaknesses on your part, or because you would be that strong and formidable of a Democratic nominee?
Well, let me tell you about name ID first. I didn't just get name ID because I, you know, showed up. I got name ID because I've spent time in communities. I've spent time all across the state of Wisconsin, deliberate time, not just campaign time. Time to talk about the issues that matter, whether it's water contamination, whether it is soil erosion, whether it's storm damage tours, whether it's visiting schools, whether it's showing up to work sites. I've been very intentional and very deliberate during my time as lieutenant governor to show up in all 72 counties the first year. And even out of office, I've still made my rounds across the state, sitting down, taking time to engage with people across Wisconsin. The name ID thing just doesn't happen because I've asked for it. It's because I worked for it. And I can tell you there is a real reason Republicans are directing all of their fire and all of their energy at me. And, you know, it's because of the campaign that we are building. It is because they didn't expect me to even come that close to defeating, to winning that race in 22. I was written off a long time ago before in 22 in that race. And so for people to have seen what we were able to build and coming that close to defeating an incumbent, an entrenched incumbent, a twice elected incumbent, they see a real threat here. They take this candidacy seriously. And, you know, I can't speak to why they haven't really mentioned the other candidates. But I know that we are building up the firepower to fight back. We're taking the fight directly to Tom Tiffany. As I said before, we have to be focused on November. And that is exactly what we're doing, because this is a person who went to Washington not to fight for us, but to fight for himself and to express fealty to President Donald Trump. When the people of the state of Wisconsin, specifically people in the district he represents, have been desperate for more. They have been desperate for change. They have been calling out to him for help with no response. The only person that Tom Tiffany responds to is Donald Trump. The only person and the only people that I'm going to respond to are those here in Wisconsin.
We've got time for one more question, Mandela, and it's about not so much the electability, but people also want to know what you would do once you're there. Some people want a fire breather who's going to be seeking out essentially conflict and try to win. Others want somebody who's going to be much more, you know, bipartisan or managerial in their approach. But that means other people say, well, then they don't have their convictions. They're going to be mushy. In your own words, what kind of a governor would you be if elected?
Well, I'm going to be a governor that's not going to rest until we get the change that we deserve. As I've mentioned, we are calling for a Badger Care expansion on day one, calling a special session if necessary. And I've said that I refuse to sign a state budget that does not include Badger Care expansion. The people have been desperate for this for too long. Healthcare premiums continue to increase. And so this is about offering the type of bold leadership that's not going to roll over and won't say no. And I'm going to take the time and the energy to put in the fight that's necessary to make things better for every person in every corner of Wisconsin. We can't continue to wait any longer, because Donald Trump is going to continue to make things worse. And we're going to need people who are going to stand in the way to mind the gap, to ensure that we are not having to deal with the worst impacts of this failed presidency, and show people what the Wisconsin way truly is. Making sure that we are a state that delivers real opportunity, regardless of your zip code, regardless of your region in this state, regardless of any factors that may have kept you down.
Mandela Barnes, candidate for governor. Great to catch up. I know we'll do so again often between now and August. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Appreciate you joining us. When we come back, we will be talking about the weekend in sports. Mike Clemens will be along in about 15 minutes for that. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Nice. Nice to have you back at 8:22. And that interview with Mandela Barnes serves as a reminder of our question of the day. Which candidate is in the strongest position right now to be elected Wisconsin's next governor in the 2026 election? I mean, not if the election were held today, but based on, you know, your own looking ahead to November of next year, which candidate is in the strongest position to win this race? And Kristen, it was a great conversation with the former lieutenant governor, but I know that there are six other Democrats in the race who would beg to differ and think that, you know, they can make the case between now and August that any one of them would be the strongest candidate.
I have opinions.
All right. And so now it's time for Kristen Has Opinions.
I love that we've got such a robust field for the Democratic nomination. I think it's really great. I think they're all kind of saying the same thing right now. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they set themselves apart. You know, you asked the question about name ID, and Mandela definitely comes in with the biggest name ID, having run against Ron Johnson a few years ago, and people know who he is. People have opinions, which is good and bad. I mean, we all saw the New York Times article and then the article in Urban Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. His race, this is not a slam dunk. It's a controversial race. So really, it's wide open, and it'll be fun to see how they define themselves, how they get out and meet Wisconsinites, how they fundraise. Ultimately, it comes down to fundraising. Mm-hmm. That's how we get engagement from across the country. But I think one of the biggest challenges is that our primary is not until August. So in Texas, the primary is in March. Then you know who your opponent on the other side of the aisle is, and you can campaign against them for 9 months. It's not that way in Wisconsin, and that makes it a lot trickier.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Since we jumped right into a meeting with Mandela Barnes, let's bring in an update from Tigerton. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Sunny and 0 degrees. He says it's warmed up two degrees since then. A cold weather advisory tonight into Sunday, so stay warm. He said, luckily, no plowing snow. Usually we'd get a snowstorm before the real bitter cold, but this one was just a few snow showers. He says, I'll be looking for a car this weekend online. Had pizza at Blazer's Bar and Grill in Split Rock. I love when he calls it a suburb. Tigerton.
Yep.
Reminds everybody to keep your pipes warm, and says his sister Lori used to work at Lambeau Field. She was an elevator operator and got to help Bart Starr in a wheelchair. Lori told me Cherry Starr was a very sweet lady, and she hugged my sister Lori. So kind of goes with what you were saying about Bart Starr earlier.
Very sweet. Very, very good people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't believe we've mentioned a few times that the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show can be heard on Civic Media Saturday mornings at noon and also on WCPT Radio in Chicago. We did not get to the point of asking who you got this weekend.
I have Kate Duffy from Motherhood for Good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. The moms are organizing, and we have a lot of opinions about things like, hey, should Robert F. Kennedy Jr. really be commenting on breastfeeding? We don't think so.
Let me tell you something about Kate Duffy. 12 months ago, shortly after the presidential election, when they were still coming on regularly as part of Motherhood for Good, I'm speaking accurately. I'm sure I'm not speaking out of turn. She was morose. Because we all were. I mean, yes. She was so down in the dumps. Everybody else was. We were all going, what do we do from here?
And she just had a baby.
Had
a baby.
Yeah. And saying, well, where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. And you know what she did? She went to go do something from here. She didn't. Some people are still sitting on the couch going, well, where are we going to go from here? She just grabbed her camera. She started making videos. She started making connections. She is doing, you know, the explainer videos that every news outlet should be doing about why, you know, why is this story in the news and how does it apply to your life? And it's all from the perspective of, you know, of a real mom. And I'm amazed at the energy and the volume that she brings into sharing this message. But you can clearly tell how important this is to her.
A real mom with a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. So she is a busy real mom, but yes. She also looks at her kids and thinks, I can't let this be your future. Mm-hmm. And I think she recognizes, and because she was there too, and I was there too, when you're young and you're raising your family, you don't have a lot of time to pay attention to what's happening in the world. I mean, those of us who are immersed in it, we're talking about this all the time, but people who aren't are talking about other things. How do we get these political issues in front of people who otherwise aren't paying attention because they can't, and make them interesting so that they will engage and actually vote in a way that will be impactful, not just when it comes to the presidential election, but city council, county boards, school boards, all of those things matter. And the work that she's done and the way she makes it so beautiful and enticing and personal is just, it's miraculous. We're so lucky to have her here in Wisconsin. And I hope you'll consider listening to our show. We're on at noon, all across the Civic Media Radio Network on Saturday and Sunday, 5 o'clock PM on Saturday on WCPT, and then wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube at Dr. Kristen Langerly.
Yeah, get yourself signed up for all these things. The crux of the dilemma facing anybody in political communications, whether it's talk show hosts or newsrooms or anything else, is we're always hearing, well, if you talk too much about politics, you're tuning people out. People don't want that. On the other hand, you have to say things several times mm-hmm. for the message to get through. And there are people right now who are finally hearing enough about, you know, Trump and what Republicans are doing in Madison, you know, with the whole catch kits thing and everything. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to turn. And they wouldn't turn if you just said, well, they don't want to hear about politics, and so we're not going to talk about politics. You have to have that right mix of conversation. And, you know, Kate realizes that. You realize that with your show. The last thing we need is a show that is like completely anti-politics. The issues are just too important. It's about finding that right balance.
You got to find the balance, and you have to recognize that if you don't take a side at this time in history, then you're...
it's the old saying, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
You're on the menu. Yeah,
and that's exactly what is happening here. Let's see. So we've got the game against Denver coming up this Sunday. So I have to ask every week, you're not going to Denver for a meeting or anything, are you?
Warm and cozy okay. In my living room watching with my people.
All righty. Well, Mike Clemens is going to help us preview that game. And then the one 6 days later in Chicago against the Bears. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north. Welcome back. It is 8:35 now, and Parker Olson's here from Madison. Dr. Kristen Lairley hanging around. Mike Clemens just mere seconds away. But to lead into it, it's just sometimes the scheduling gods give you a solid.
They give you one.
Where they go? Because sometimes a game goes so poorly that you actually want to say to your team, you know what, take a week off. And that's exactly what the Badger men's basketball team needs. And that's where Mike Clemens is going to get things started, because that was not a pretty game against Nebraska. Mike, good morning. A little time off is just what the doctor ordered.
No, and, you know, the Badgers men's basketball team head coach Greg Card, you know, is a very, you know, steady, even-keeled guy. He was mad post-game, because the first question was, gee, you know, you lost 90-60. Never really were in this thing, you know, halfway through the first half. And he said, oh, we don't have a defense. Now, we haven't had one all year.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Here we go. Words. Hello.
Correct.
And he kind of went on a bit of a rant about that. And so, he, you know, what do you think you could do? Well, we got 9 days here to figure out. Maybe we'll, you know, have some plenty of time to make some changes. You think? Oh my gosh. This is Greg Gard, man. Yeah, the Badgers started out as a ranked team this season. They lost one, you know, non-conference game, kind of preseason. I think it was Providence on the road. They lost one other one. So they fell out of the top 25. Nebraska is off to their best start since 1977. They're 10-0. They're rolling. They're ranked like 23rd or so. So the Badgers go down to Lincoln the other night, and they're playing, and pretty soon Nebraska got an early start. The Badgers, to me, it looked like, since their shooting was so poor, they were like 7 for 33, 34 in three-point shots. They never let anything set up, right? They just went on there trying to put up one of their three-point shots, and bam, there's Nebraska with the ball again. Nebraska's got this kid named Rink Mast. He's 6'10", standing there underneath the bucket. He had 10 rebounds, 17 points. He's from the Netherlands. He seemed to be intimidating. And
seemed
the
veggies to be.
Seemed to be.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it looked like something out of a James Bond film. You know what I'm saying? Standing on the basket there. So, I mean, it, you know, went from bad to worse. They ended up losing 90 to 60 by 30 points. Now they have a 9-day break. I think maybe that's kind of an end of the semester kind of a break where the, you know, the players can finish up for class. But they're going to take on Villanova next week, Friday. And, yeah, they got plenty of things to fix there with the Badgers men's basketball team right now.
But now, of course, you talk about Bond villain. Now all I'm thinking about, calling it up right away, Richard Kiel is the actor I'm thinking of. Just classic.
Exactly.
I could totally see him standing under the basket for Nebraska getting this done. And I guess I wondered, you know, and there, you can dissect this thing, you know, any way that you want. It's like, well, were they looking past the game? Were they antsy to go on their break? Is it much more strategic? Parker, you were saying that, you know, you had seen earlier, you know, one kind of way to beat the Badgers, but in this game, you feel like you saw like a couple of different ways to beat the Badgers. So I don't know. Parker, I'll ask you first. Do you think they were just looking past the game, or do they really have to do something different with their defense?
I think they legitimately need to do something different with their defense. Greg Gard, I mean, he was on them right after in that press conference, and I'm sure he was right on them before that game. He is well aware that they've got to lock in, and I'm sure they were, and they just did not have it at all.
No, and when you take out John Blackwell,
yeah,
and you see this group, this team, they're so used to dominating in scoring, and when that's not happening, then they start reeling, and it takes them out of rhythm. It takes them out of getting down and setting up for defense. Well, they're going to be playing lots of defense in practice over the next week and a half. That's for sure.
Without a doubt. And again, so that'll be next week, Friday, hosting Villanova. And of course, that game will be on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, it has been a slow week for the Bucks schedule-wise. So they were not in action until last night, and they were taking on the Boston Celtics. This has not been a memorable time for the Milwaukee Bucks, or perhaps, Mike, it will be memorable as the end of a golden era. I hope that's not the case, but they really needed that win that they got last night over Boston.
No, the Bucks had lost 10 of the last 12 games, and that's even when Giannis was playing. Then he goes down with that knee injury, misses 4 of those games, comes back in 3 minutes into his comeback, if you will. Then he goes down with, thank goodness, not an Achilles, but a calf muscle strain. So he's out the next 2 to 4 weeks. And with the NBA Cup tournament going on, which they weren't in, they had a little break this week. And so Doc would come and talk to us once a day during those practices, and he stressed at the start of it, our spacing. It's our spacing. You know, and especially, what are you doing standing around next to the guy shooting the ball? That's the last person you're supposed to be next to. We get possession, we get down, you know, to the opponent's goal, spread out and move the ball.
You're not a tight end. You're not supposed to block for the guy shooting the ball.
Well, you know, this is junior high stuff, but
yes.
Whatever. It's these guys. So last night, that's the first thing out of his mouth. He says, we spread out. You know, we move the ball around. So, hello, Kyle Kuzma, 31 points. Bobby Portis Jr. coming through. Now the Celtics started out with a 10-point lead. Celtics are still good this year, even though Jason Tatum's out for the year with that Achilles. They had two or three other guys that were out, too, one with an illness, one with a knee. Celtics came in last night to Pfizer Forum, had a 10-point lead, and the Bucks came back a couple of times, and then they put a nail in it toward the end of the game to win 116-101. Celtics are third place, you know, behind the Pistons in the Eastern Conference. So the Bucks get a nice win at home. I think they're like 8-7 now at home. They're 3-8 on the road, and they will go to Brooklyn now on Sunday to play the Nets at 5:00.
I have to confess right here, because we talk about the NBA Cup tournament a lot, and I legit thought that this was just a slow period on the schedule. I didn't realize the Bucks were already out of contention for the Cup.
Yeah. So they took advantage of that break, and they got a couple of practice sessions in at perhaps, hopefully, just the right time. But that's a good win at home to maybe find here's our identity. Here's how we need to run this thing. Without Giannis, because the team is supposed to be built all around Giannis, who's averaging 28, 29 points a game. It's hard to lose that.
It is indeed. All right. Finally, of course, we've got the Green Bay Packers are heading to Denver. They're going to take on the Broncos. It's 3:25 kickoff, so pregame begins at 1 o'clock on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, Racine, Kenosha, Wautoma, and Ironwood. And so what are we thinking? Again, we're trying not to look past this because, yes, there's another game against the Bears, and it's only 6 days after that. But I feel like that's what the Packers did earlier. They were looking ahead on the schedule and ended up losing to Carolina. I would love to think that they're a much more focused team now as they head out to Denver.
Yeah, Packers coming off the win over the Bears. Exciting game, came down to essentially the last play of the game. Packers win that one 28-21. Caleb Williams, who, by the way, Mike McCarthy was on McAfee yesterday, and he called him Caleb Williams two or three times before McAfee had to say, Mike, it's Caleb. He turned bright red. Caleb Williams, the quarterback, is rolling around, and in the first half, with that Packers pass rush, you know, Micah Parsons and company, he was erratic and threw a lot of incompletions. He settled down, and yeah, he moved, but he moved to a launching point and threw it, and then he got things going with that Bears defense. Got back into the game. It's 28-21, and now he's down to the 16-yard line in the Packers' territory on a 4th-and-1. Ben Johnson, their head coach, maybe made a game management bad decision there. He pretty should have run it to clock the game, but or at least take control. So Caleb rolls out to his left, and Keyshawn Nixon is covering DJ Moore. He's up on the right-hand side, a wide receiver, and now he's in motion in the backfield. So Keyshawn's following his guy, running through the backfield. Cole Kmet, one of their star tight ends, he's lined up on the left-hand side, and he squeezes out. And next thing you know, he's in the end zone, standing there all alone. And so Caleb is rolling out. He's got this big bunch in front of him. So he flips the ball to the end zone. Keyshawn Nixon sees this out of the corner of his eye, like, oh, my God, runs over there, leaps through the air, and intercepts that ball in the end zone. End of game. Packers win 28-21. Great, and tremendous game.
And you could see that. I mean, it was one of those things where the play was like happening in slow motion. You could see the Bear standing there in the end zone alone. He was alone. And like in that split second for Keyshawn to have the presence of mind to change direction and get there in time. And again, in that split second, you're thinking, nope, he's not going to get, oh, he got there. Oh, he got it. And so you're filled right away with thoughts of, that's great. We're going to win the game. And even though, you know, I'm a Packers fan, not a Bears fan, my mind immediately went to what every Bears fan was thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Why aren't you running this thing?
Right. They think, hey, this is it. We're going to tie up this game. We may go for two to win the game. And it's just a dagger. Just an absolute dagger for, you know, the Bears fan. Like, not again. Not again. So, you know, that might be the defensive play of the year so far, outside of Micah Parsons' sack of Jared Goff to end the Thanksgiving game.
Yeah.
And I asked LaFleur about it on Monday, and he didn't want to say about it, and so then someone had to bring it up. Well, Evan Williams, the safety, told us it was his responsibility. He should have dropped back and picked up that tight end. So it was a great play by Keyshawn. Now you roll through to they're playing the Broncos now on Sunday at 3:25. I'll be leaving for Denver tomorrow morning, so I'll have coverage for you on your show on Monday. And they're taking on the Denver Broncos that are 11-2. And you know, Sean Payton took over, the guy who coached the Saints, the guy who was up for the Packers job back in 2006, remember? And they hired McCarthy instead. And so Sean has led this team with a great defense. They've got 55 quarterback sacks. They smother teams. They good players on the defensive line and on the back end with, you know, Patrick Surtain, their cornerback. And so that's going to be the challenge for Green Bay on Sunday. Josh Jacobs, their star running back for Green Bay, we talked to him at length yesterday. He's been dealing with this knee injury he suffered last month against the Giants. They rested him during Vikings. He played in the Lions and Bears game. Did you know he had an MRI on Monday after the Bears game? Because he's in so much pain with his knee. There's swelling. There's fluid. So I think he'll still go, but they're resting him this week because that's the only thing they can do for him. Is the best thing for him is rest to try and alleviate the pain when he plays in these games on Sunday. So we got that going on.
We got to watch out for that. All right. Mike Clemens, he will be in Denver following it all for us. And always appreciate the update on all the weekend coming up in sports. Mike, travel safe. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Pat. Talk to you Monday.
All right. We will talk to you a little later on here. And again, Kristen, I think that I think they will be a more focused team this time around. I mean, they have to be. They can't make a mistake like they did against Carolina again.
I think that they are hitting their stride. Yeah. We've seen the last couple of games. They've been focused. They've been fun. Yeah, it's going to be a good weekend.
Now the bigger question, though. Do you have Peacock? Because we now know the Packers game against Baltimore will only be seen. Oh, wait, you're in Green Bay.
In Green Bay, baby. I always get the Packers.
Oh,
I'm an owner.
You're an owner. Of course. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, Parker and I might stop over to watch the game. Just
Yeah, you got room on the couch?
Yep.
Yeah. I've got a big couch. I can make appies. Yes. Let's go.
All right. We got some final news and notes from Lake Wasota coming up in just a bit. I'm Pat Quitelow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Final episode of Matt and Air on Air coming up soon. Stick around.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, here's where we thank everybody who made this show possible this week. That includes the former Lieutenant Governor, Mandela Barnes, another candidate for governor, Joel Brennan, who was with us yesterday, State Representatives Christian Phelps and Angelina Cruz talked to us about funding for special education, Superior Mayor Jim Payne, all about how communities in Wisconsin are wrestling with affordable housing and looking for creative solutions, Richard Trent from Main Street Alliance gave us a national small business perspective on the things Washington is doing that are not exactly helpful to our hometown entrepreneurs. My thanks to Joan Esposito, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Ruth Conniff of the Wisconsin Examiner, financial expert Sean O'Malley, Joe Zepecki, Melissa Baldoff, Dan Hagen from Newswatch 12 and Rhinelander, Earl Ingram from Civic Media, along with Jimmy Koska, Chad Holmes, James Kelly, John and Gordy, my Courier Newsroom colleagues, Cam Stevenson and Kia Vakil, my Up North News colleagues, Ellie Bordeaux, Sharita Booker, Selena Heller, and then from folks who are very nearby here, Greg Bach, Parker Olson, Kristen Lyerly, and then last, but definitely not least, Jane Matinair.
Jane.
Who is about to kick off the last rodeo. And I mean that in a very happy way. Great career, going out on top. And this is going to be a fun little show to listen to coming up in just a little over 10 minutes from now.
I was on yesterday with Jane and Greg, and I actually got a little, like, verklempt. Because she's brilliant, and she's great at what she does. She's so easy to listen to. She's so much fun. I'm really going to miss her.
I know. Well, I have a feeling, because we of a certain age, we have talked about retirement, things that we will do and not do. And I don't think we're done hearing her yet. I'm sure there will be some visits and guest appearances and maybe even a guest host now and then if you get bored, you know. So I hope so. But first, I want her to go have all the fun. Whatever's on that list, go have all the fun.
You know, it's
going to happen. Not just the chores, because I know she's got a lot of chores. She's downsizing the house. But go do the fun things, too.
You retire and you think you're going to have all this time, and it just never works that way. Like, nature hates a vacuum.
Yep. Oh, does it ever? Trust me.
Almost as much as I hate my vacuum.
That's like, yeah, my whiteboard. I put up a whiteboard in the little hallway right by the garage door. And Sherry always tells people, boy, I bet he regrets that, because if there's white space on it, there's going to be a to-do list. And there is. I have not mentioned the newsletter today on the Locals Love section. I said we were going to talk about supper clubs. There was a section on there today. And so some of the readers sent in the following: the Ranch Supper Club in Hayward, McGregor's Blink Bonnie in St. Germain, Dreamland Supper Club in South Range, Pinewood Supper Club in Mosinee, Digger's Sting Restaurant in La Crosse, and Schaumburg Dinner Club in Randolph. So just a few of the places that got shout outs from folks.
I really want some fried perch right now.
Oh, wouldn't that be good? Yeah. On the sad side of things, I'm looking over in the news channel for Civic Media, and they're taking note of a WISN report that says the Bass Bay Brew House in Muskego is fully engulfed in fire, probably will be a total loss in Muskego for those folks there. So very unfortunate news. But a reminder, as I was saying with Ellie the other day, you know, supper clubs are not exactly proliferating. You got to go see these places before the owners retire or things shut down. So if you've got a favorite steak joint, as I would call it, get out there, get yourself an old-fashioned, and, you know, spread some cash around with your local businesses.
And have some fun. Create some community. I remember being a kid and going to the Highland House in Kaukauna, which is no longer there. And you'd walk in and you had your waitress. And mm-hmm. she knew you. And there was this banter. And it was fun. And Jack, who owned it, sponsored my softball team. It was about so much more than getting a meal.
Can I tell you that at one of the places here, Wasota Lodge, when Sherry and I walk in now, they know exactly what table to take us to. They know which one is our favorite.
Norm.
You're just like, we're Norm. We've become Cliff and Norm of Wasota Lodge. This is great. And you know, except the brandy old fashions are already on the way.
You know? Except you are kind of both the Cliff and the Norm, because Sherry is just delightful. And you, I can't label her with either of those.
No, you really can't. No, she doesn't. You can't pigeonhole her for casting cheers. No, nope. Not at all. Hey, on Monday, as I mentioned, we're going to have John Hankus from Wisconsin Eye talking about the financial straits that company finds themselves in for covering Wisconsin government, but also former Congressman Reed Ribble from your neck of the woods up there in Northeast Wisconsin, who has some thoughts he wants to share on health care. And as I was looking through some past articles here, I mean, he was warning people back in 2015 that Donald Trump either wants single payer, like in Canada, or he doesn't know what he wants at all, because he has literally been all over the map on healthcare. Donald Trump has, and Reed Ribble recognized that right away.
Reed Ribble is your old school Republican, former small businessman, focused on the economic stuff, and he has been incredibly consistent, moderate, happy to work across the aisle. It's too bad we don't have a Republican Party full of Reed Ribbles. That would be brilliant, and oh my gosh, our country would be so much better off.
Well, because you'd have people interested in governing, not so much ruling, which is where we kind of have things right now.
And people who cared about the people.
Yeah. Yes. It is going to be one cold weekend here, and I've never been so happy to just not have plans. We didn't set it aside to be a no-plan weekend, but I'm sure glad now. There's plenty to do yet to get ready for the holidays. Kristen, do you have to wander out of the house at all?
No, I don't know that I've had a no-plan weekend in years.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to
look
do
at
that. That's what you said. Tuck it in.
Parker?
I think I've got nothing. I think I'm going to hunker in and watch some football all weekend, and I will be a happy camper.
Yeah. It will be a hunker down weekend. Will the River Falls football game, will that be streaming someplace?
It is on ESPN Plus, yes.
It's on ESPN Plus. Okay, yep. So River Falls continues in the college football playoffs. All right. Well, thanks, you guys. Thanks, Parker. Thank you, Kristen. Have a great start to the weekend.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We'll see you on Monday. There'll be all kinds of fun and news to share with you. Again, thanks to all of our guests, and thanks to you for being here this morning. I'm Pat Kreitlow from Up North News. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy newsroom, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Follow us on social media and at upnorthnewswi.com. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday morning, 6 a.m., right back here up north.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.